Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? Wells, are you feeling any better yet?
Nope.
Why not?
It's been a whole 45 minutes since the last time you complained about feeling sick. Gosh.
Yep.
Gosh. Skill issue. Get good, son.
Anything new media-wise?
Pluribus.
Okay.
Big, I don't know if you've caught wind of this one. It's Vince Gilligan's new show. It's got Rhea Seehorn, who is Kim Wexler in Better Call Saul. And not to spoil the whole setup, because it's a really fun kind of like sci-fi sort of... I don't want to call it like zombie apocalypse kind of deal, but it's a really interesting spin on that kind of idea, where almost like a last man on earth kind of thing. I think we're caught up now. We're five episodes in, and just, I know, it's just, it's fun, and it's, you know, it's curious, and really enjoyed it so far.
Cool.
Nice. And we haven't really watched many new shows, but I don't think... Have we recorded since the Predator movie came out?
No.
Badlands?
No.
Oh, y'all, it's so good.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the local Predator aficionado here. And
yes, you are.
Yeah, yes. You are the most like a Predator that I know. Out of the three of us, for sure.
Like, is it worth the watch?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Do not let that PG-13 fool you. The only reason they got that rating is because the blood is not red. It is green and it is white, and there is a lot of it. And apparently that can, if characters don't bleed red, then you can get a PG-13 where it should have been R.
Okay. Crazy. Because I know we've talked about that, and that was my biggest fear, is that this is like a weird little kitty version of...
Nope. No.
Okay.
That was so much fun.
Cool. A couple of video game recommendations, because, you know, I've been doing nothing but playing video games because I've been stuck in the middle of nowhere. Octopath Traveler 2 for my JRPG fans out there, and then Arc Raiders if you like shooties.
Oh, yeah.
Arc Raiders is a lot of fun, but it's a very stressful game. It's an extraction shooter, meaning you go in with loot. If you die, you lose that loot. But if you make it out successfully, you get your loot and whatever else you got in the raid. I normally don't like those style of games because they can be really toxic. This one, at least so far, hasn't been, and I know it just launched, so that could be part of it, and the toxicity is coming. But for right now, I'm really enjoying it.
Nice. The toxicity of your city.
We shall see you.
I will say I did finish the main storyline for Borderlands 4, and so now I'm just kind of going through and doing cleanup on the side. And man, you know, there's a lot that I like about this game, but that is, it has some of the dumbest and worst implemented things at the same time. Like, you know, we've all played Borderlands, we've all dealt with the stupid fetch quest, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, hey, thanks for coming all the way to the west end of the world. Oh, we actually needed something from the other side of the entire map that will take you to, you know, like, so they solved that with, you know, some fast pass stations littered throughout the place. You can unlock them. Okay, that's all great. That's fine, right? Then they do this thing now where, like, okay, so there are certain things that you have to collect, and then you have to take it to a base. And for whatever reason, you have to hold it in your left hand the entire time. Now, forget the fact that you have, you know, at any given time, you know, like, let's say, you know, four different guns strapped to you that you can switch between one-handed, mind you. You can throw grenades, but then you'll drop it. It's in then you get to these places where you need to climb up to get to the place where you deposit the, you know, whether it's the ore or the loot capsule or whatever it is. And you don't have a way to just jump up there. So you actually have to throw the thing, then climb up, grab it again. Hopefully you don't do what I did one time and you throw it and somehow it clipped into the landscape. I've enjoyed so much of it. And then it yet has some of the most infuriating moments of any Borderlands game I've ever had. It's not to mention they keep throwing more stuff at it. Like, oh, and now you can do this. And now there's all these other things to unlock. And Josh, I go back to you, the way you always talk about these kind of games, wait for the game of the year version that has everything already unlocked, already ready to go.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what those games are to me, is just wait until everything is $20 and you get all the DLC. It'll make life so much better.
Yeah. You know.
It is what it is, you know.
Yep.
Hey,
it's the game that I was looking forward to. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a glutton for punishment. I knew I was getting... I knew all of the hype. You know, Randy Pitchford's right up there with Elon, you know, when it comes to convincing everybody that, oh, but this time it's really going to be great, you guys. There's not going to be any problems. And we got completed with it early, you know, and there's not going to have to be any tweaks. And it's not even going to go on sale for like a year. It's been out for, what, 2 months? And there's already crazy sales all over the place.
Yep. Yeah. Steam, for the first time ever, did a Black Friday sale. Like, I've been a PC gamer for most of my life. And they've never done a Black Friday sale, and they did one. And Borderlands 4 was already like 30% off. I'm like, that didn't last.
Nope.
Yeah, what can you do? Anyways, on to the news. Wells, I know you said you're a little under the weather, but I'm going to need your help with this first story. Who the fuck is Siebel? Like, what do they do? I know who they are, but what do they do?
You know what they are, but you don't know what they do.
Well, you know, kind of. I kind of do, kind of don't. How about that?
Okay. The Siebel Institute is a brewing school. That is what they are. What they do, they teach people that want to learn more about the brewing industry things. That's what a school does.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a number of things. It's also like the beer business, the business of beer. I have not taken any Siebel courses just because I didn't take things that seriously at that time. But they've been based out of Chicago in Germany for a long, long, long time. And the Chicago location is, let's see... established in 1872, so a little bit of time. They are moving to Montreal. In Canada.
What's that, a booty?
Pulling out of Chicago because the students for the school are having a hard time getting, you know, to the school, getting visas and whatnot. Huh. So
I wonder why.
Yep. So we're gonna have a little bit of brain drain. Yeah. So yeah, good job. Good job.
So let me I guess ask this more, maybe the reason I'm confused. Is this like a public school that I could just enroll in? Is this like a trade school? Like,
it's a trade school.
Okay.
So it's like applying to college, except rather than like a 4-year degree, you'd sign up for whatever course you need. I mean, it's a trade school, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Sign up for what you want to learn. So
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I guess that sucks that they're having to pack up and move to Canada thanks to this administration, but you know, hey, is what it is. Do you know Wells personally, or Jeff? I know you and I are kind of attached to the beer world. Wells, obviously, a lot more. Do you know anybody that's ever gone to Siebel for anything?
No.
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, between like 5 and 10 people.
Yeah, I figured you would, but I thought I'd ask Jeff too. I'm just curious. Like, I know it's, you know, like you said, Wells, this is way more for somebody that's actually in the industry and wants to learn stuff or improve skills or things like that. So it's cool that it exists, but sucks that it's going to be moving to Canada now.
Oh, no. Like, as much as I do love Chicago, I need an excuse to visit Montreal, I guess.
I don't know, Lloyd. The French are assholes.
Mm-hmm. They can cuss me out in two languages. Yeah. So, Siebel is moving. Good job.
Good job. Also, good job, Sierra Nevada, for keeping Snapa or Sierra Nevada Palo relevant for 45 years.
Hey, what do you know?
That's crazy. Finally,
a little bit of good news. This is such an article about perspective. Basically, like when Sierra Nevada was first brewed, there were 40 breweries in the country. Today, there are over 9,000.
Mm.
Yet, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is still the gold standard of pale ales. And think about like what all has come up in that time. I mean, we're talking about Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams, reformulating Boston Lager, New Belgium. Their Fat Tire went from an amber to what the hell ever it is. But Sierra Nevada Pale Ale has stayed put. So good for them, not only for having 45 years of success, but also for making a damn good American pale.
And I mean,
there's got to be something more to that, though, right? I mean, like, it's not just that it's a good beer. Other breweries have tried and failed to get a pale ale to grab on. And I think so, kind of some of that point of Snapa came out before hobby beer was hobby beer, right? Like, we didn't know this was a thing. I remember 96 getting my first taste of it and being like, this is gross. I can't, of course, I was brand new into beer. I didn't, all I knew was like J.W. Dundee's Honey Brown, right? And then, you know, like trash, you know, American Macro Lager. And I wasn't even really that well versed in it. But then, you know, I remember a buddy of mine was like, oh my gosh, I, you know, was able to get a hold of this and it's like the greatest thing of all time. And I didn't understand it. But, you know, somehow it has still, like, they're not cranking it out in the volume, they're cranking it out just because there's nostalgia. They're not just cranking it out hoping somebody will buy. People are still buying this like crazy, and there's got to be a reason for that. And it's just, maybe it's just the TLC that goes into it.
TLC.
I mean, yes, you hit the nail on the head, and that's kind of where I was going with this too, is they don't change it because they don't have to. Right.
Yep. Like
they know what it is. They know what it's meant to do, and it fucking works. And it has worked forever. And yeah, this really is the gold standard of, like, I mean, I know we've talked about Desert Island beers 1,000 times, but man, this is one of them. Like, if I was stuck in the Dominican and all I could have was Snap, I'd die a happy man.
Like, right. Desert Snap Island beer, right?
Consistently good. Especially now that we have the Mills River plant, like, never old, like, at least from when I buy it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm out there buying it every week, but when I buy it, it's always fresh. And
yeah. Which, you know, I think that's an interesting thing, too. I mean, I, you know, as much as we can rave and talk about how great it is, I mean, I don't buy it on the regular.
Yeah, I don't either.
Still, it's always there for me. It's not bad. Yep.
Yeah. That's just it. It's always there, right? Like, I know what I'm going to get when I get it. It's going to be a quality product. It's not going to taste bad. I'm not going to go, God, this is gross, I'm going to drain pour it. Or why did I spend this much money on this? Right. Like,
right. Yeah. I've spent more money on smaller packs of beer and been super freaking disappointed.
Yep.
Or inevitably what ends up happening to me a lot of times is you know, it's Thursday, we're at the Buzz. I've had one, I have a second one. I'm like, oh man, this one's really great. And I get the 4-pack and I get it home and then I have it like on its own. And I'm just like, yeah, this wasn't as good as I remembered it being, you know, the night before, the couple days before or whatever, you know, whereas, yeah. You know, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, just always good.
Yeah. And I'm super happy that they've never had to monkey with this one.
Yeah. And so it kind of goes back again to last episode. You know, we're talking about Rogue, you know, and we're talking about Anchor and, you know, these legacy breweries that, you know, had, I mean, like, I don't know that Dead Guy makes sense in today's world. And yeah, Anchor Steam wasn't really, you know, it wasn't, people weren't ripping that off the shelves either, but you know, why couldn't those have lasted like Snappa?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Anyhow.
Yeah, well, it's now work on the Veil and getting their own Snappa.
Yeah. I'll get right on that. I might have a little bit more success steering us towards new hop varieties than I will Snappa.
Yeah, although, so what are those new hop varieties?
Well, boy, oh boy. I'm sure we have heard so many about like HBC, this, that, and the other. A lot of these don't have names yet. That's the thing. They're still in like the test phase.
Right.
But I've started seeing Allura, which is a new product. Erebus is another one that's mentioned. I have not experienced much with Erebus before. And one that I have seen us at the Veil start to use is Crush with K-R-U-S-H. So
I want to say that I had some Allura at the Fresh Hop Festival. And definitely had some with Crush on it too.
Mm-hmm. That's a real fruity one. I mean, Crush, it's a much better name than what it was formerly called, HBC586.
Right. Or, you know, you never know when that, you know, HBC1297 is going to turn into, you know, sardines or
anchovy.
Anchovy, yes, thank you.
Yeah, I haven't. Of course, I still want to see Brew One. Like, I know that's not like new anymore, but I did see a big couple boxes of Brew One in the walk-in today, and it's just gotten me very interested.
Very nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, as much as I would never want to work in the brewing industry, it would be fun to like walk in one day and be like, "Ooh, here's all these new fun little hop varieties," or things like that.
Send them to you in like a little, like a Mylar bag. And you're supposed to like open them up and rub them in between your hands and smell, and it's a whole procedure.
Oh, yeah. Don't eat them. Don't eat them straight like that. It's not good.
No, that's for the whole cone stuff or whole leaf. That's, I don't want to mess with either one of them. Not until they've been put in some liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. This is true. Any other thoughts on any new hops are coming out?
I just love to see it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's always neat to see all these hops that come out. I think it's what's sometimes tricky. And, you know, the three of us are relatively deeply engaged in the beer scene, but for their average consumer, they don't, you know, they're not necessarily going to be able to find many beers with Allura in it, you know, or Crush. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dissolver probably has something with Crush in it already, but you know, like you'll see, you know, some breweries gravitate towards playing around with new hops, and you know, it'd be nice to be able to have more examples at the same time, so you can kind of get a feel for, do I actually like this hop? I mean, you know, Brew One is a great example, Wells, you know, of a hop that you were crazy about, like from the jump. And it didn't take long for Josh and I to get on board, but I mean, we were definitely a little behind the ball on that, you know. Yeah. And then I got that way with Nectaron, and then, you know, like now Nectaron, you know, is a bigger deal. And, you know, it's neat to see, you know, like here's the next iteration of whatever. I'd like to see them get, like, sometimes I feel like the new hops have too many fruity things going on. Wouldn't mind them getting back to some more maybe older school type, West Coast type, bitter, piney, resiny. But, you know, you get those too with some of these new hops. So a lot of focus is on, you know, things that are complementary for the hazy IPAs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Excuse me, sorry. Obviously, somebody that doesn't work in the industry, Wells, could speak to that more, but...
Well, people are breeding hop varieties that brewers want. So a lot of your high alpha hops that would have been popular, your big pine, your super bitter, whatever, the second the industry started going a little more soft, you know, there's a significant lag in these breeding programs, like, because yeah. Even if you breed something that like seems to have potential, it's going to take it another like two or three years to become like commercially viable to get it, you know, up enough to get enough mounds planted to have a crop to harvest.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that is a valid point. Like a lot of people don't realize that, you know, this is it's a crop, right? At the end of the day, and you can't just magically fabricate this shit. It's going to take a couple of years for it to take off. And then you also have to worry about weather, right? Like, what if you have an extreme drought? What if you have an extreme flood? Like,
what happens when, you know, the countryside catches fire and you get smoke tanked crops?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with that. And yeah, especially where most of the hops are grown on the West Coast, that tends to be prone to wildfires. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not good. Not good.
No, sir.
Okay, so by the time this episode comes out, Thanksgiving will have long been over. But in reality of us recording this, Black Friday was literally a couple of days ago.
Yep.
For beer nerds that know, Black Friday is the famous day in which Bourbon County Brand Stout or BCBS comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's more, yeah, for beer geeks, that's why we might know Friday, sure.
Yes. For beer geeks, that's why we will know Friday. Like, I don't know why they've chosen that day, but it's always been Black Friday for as long as I've known that.
Yeah.
That's when that beer comes out. Now, here's where the funny part of this comes in, is that Goose Island is basically making up how long BCBS has actually existed, and now they're really doubling down on, oh no, we're right. We're right. They're claiming that it's been in existence since 1992.
Yeah, it's on all of their marketing, the originators, since 1992.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, they have no evidence to back this claim up. Like, sure, Bourbon County has been around for a while, but are we sure about 1992? It seems like that's like based off of somebody's memory.
Yeah.
Well, people are doing a little bit of digging, trying to determine when Bourbon County Brand Stout might have actually come out. And guess what? Not 1992. Looks more like 1995. So it's just interesting. They keep saying, oh, we've been doing this since 1992, even though they have said we were inspired by a beer from Sam Adams that came out in 1992. So it's like this could not happen the way that they're saying it did.
Interesting.
It's just so funny. I mean, like, I need another excuse to not drink Bourbon County, but...
You know, I was about to say, so... yeah.
Yeah, this totally changes my entire... drinking, yeah, this completely changes my habits.
Right,
exactly. There are bigger issues that have false things on them that we don't care about. I don't really see why this is going to make any difference to them, because at the end of the day, I could, heck, the day before Thanksgiving, I could have walked into a number of stores here locally and picked up Bourbon County brand stout. That's last year's, but I mean, it's there on the shelf. Nobody wanted it last year either.
Well, here's the thing. It, like, on the craft beer subreddit, like /r/craft beer.
Oh, yeah.
It was so inundated on Friday with posts about BCBS. Like,
sure.
There was probably,
but it was all, but it was all like the extra crazy, like one-offs, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, it was. But still, at the end of the day, it's we're the dumb ones apparently, because we're the ones not buying this and not giving them money. It's, that's what it feels like. It feels like everybody else in the fucking world is giving them a pass, and we're the idiots in the room going, "Ah, fuck that! I'm not gonna give them money."
We're still standing on our principles. Whereas for a lot of other people, it is just another event to do this thing, to go and get this beer. Sometimes it's about the chase. You know, what do we have left in the beer industry, these worlds, to chase? You know, you said yourself, Josh, the last show, it's wild that you've got easy, easy access to other half.
Yep. Or the Veil.
I can run up the street right now and I can put my hands on probably 3 cases of other half. Probably as much, if not 1.5 times as much, of the Veil. Like, getting rare beer isn't what it used to be. And I don't think a lot of breweries are making the rare stuff like they used to, because I think everybody got burned out on it. So, you know, when you have, you know, instead of trying to be overwhelmed by trying to collect everything, you've got people who are just dialing into, this is the one beer that I'm going to chase, because it's tradition. Or I know for Jason, you know, like, he'll go with his friends and they go and sit in line, and it's just like, it's a beer release. Like, you remember beer releases, remember those, you know, weather dependent, those could be fun.
Oh yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. So, you know, I'm not advocating for going and getting in line for, you know, Bourbon County, but I also, like, I understand it, you know, both things can be true.
That's true. And it, I don't know. I kind of wonder, like, all these crazy variants that are there, like, clearly you're not getting those unless you're given money to AB. So, like, around here in this city, like, what bottle shop would even have some of this rare BCBS stuff? Like, I don't even think any of them would.
Yeah.
Because I don't see, you know, other Goose Island stuff on the regular there at all. And so, even if I wanted to chase this, like, the only thing I could probably realistically easily get would be at, like, a big box, you know, Total Wine or something like that.
Right.
Or a Teeter. Like, I'm not going to get these crazy-ass variants that these people are boasting, which, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong, they look cool and they look nice, but there's the same version of this beer that exists that isn't dirty AB money, so.
Mm-hmm. No.
Nope, nope, nope.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, last but not least, this might be the dumbest fucking story we've ever done on the show.
I don't know, man. We've seen some really dumb ones.
Yeah. Hold on. There was an autoplay video. I hate autoplay videos.
Oh, that's fair.
So there was a bar owner that basically has banned people, like, solo drinkers. So in other words, like, if I'm going to go to a bar at my hotel, I would have to have somebody else with me, or other word, or I would be considered a solo drinker.
Okay. So what? I mean,
and people are not happy about this at all. All right, go ahead. I'll let you go first. I'll let you go.
Like, it doesn't matter, man. Like, you could, people get mad anytime you tell them no. Regardless of what the reasons could be, you could say, look, we're not going to, and somebody who's been on the other side of this, you could say, we can't let your friend in, even though there are 7 of you here. We can't let the 8th member of your party in, because now we're past the fire code. And I got mad. People are going to get mad when they're told that they can't do things the way they want to do things. Full stop.
Not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and this does kind of go along with that point of, so he's got a sign on the door that says no single entry. So in other words, like, I couldn't just roll up there. But the other point I will make is that this is post or after 9 p.m. My ass would never be affected by this because I ain't rolling out that late.
That's true.
I would never be affected by this because, yeah, I am not rolling out that late. I am back home in my comfies playing video games or watching TV. Like,
I mean, for that matter, it could be pre 9 o'clock. It still wouldn't affect you. You're not going out.
That's true. Yeah. About 3 o'clock. If I'm out past 3 o'clock, other than, you know, for an event or something like that, like, there's something going on. Like, I should be back home. But I don't know. This feels so just one-sided and dumb of, I don't want, you know, just the sad, lonely drunk to come into my establishment. This is what this feels like.
Sure. Like, I could get behind that. Also, like, you know, maybe, I don't know. There's a number of reasons, I'm sure. I feel like looking at the write-up for the reasoning here is probably where a lot of the pushback's coming from as well, because it just doesn't feel sincere.
Right.
Just kind of feels like, you know, I did a thing because I wanted to do a thing and now you're mad at me. So I'm going to say that it was because of this reason. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's talking about safety and, you know, things like that, which I can appreciate as somebody who just left a city that, you know, can be dangerous. Again, I was staying in a very, very posh part of town, so I was never worried for my safety at all, but I could get that. Like, that Irish pub, I walked home from, or walked back to the hotel from it when they didn't have Guinness because it was 3 blocks. I'm like, I am not getting an Uber for 3 blocks.
No,
it's ridiculous.
Well, but then again,
but that was just it. They were all like, oh, we're so worried you're gonna die. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna die. Nothing's gonna happen. It's 3 blocks. I have my head on a swivel to begin with.
Fair enough.
Like, always, like, when I'm out in public, I'm always like, have my head on a swivel. And the only thing that took me longer is I took a wrong turn. Like, I went the wrong direction.
You wouldn't have done that with an Uber.
Yeah, that's true. But I also would have felt like a piece of shit to have somebody get an Uber and drive. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to do all that. So, I mean, I get it from a safety concern. It can be real, right? Like, if you're a little too under your cups and you're stumbling around the street and you don't have somebody there to help and protect you, things could happen. But people are adults. Let them make their own choices.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
At the same time, as a shopkeeper, you know, he should get to make his own choices too. And if it hurts his business, it hurts his business. That's got to be a measured moment that he chose.
Yeah. I mean, both valid points.
I'm just playing devil's avocado there.
Oh, no, nothing wrong with that. And I do feel like this is just very short-sighted. But hey, you're going to do what you're going to do. And again, number one, this is over in the UK, so it would not affect me. Number two is 9 p.m. So double fold ain't ever going to affect me.
Yeah, I try to be home by 9 o'clock too.
Yeah.
Day drinkers, rise up.
That's right. Day drinkers, rise up. All right. Jeff, have you been drinking?
Episode my 2. My last can of Johnny Utah. Georgetown Brewing's Johnny Utah brought this back from my West trip. 5.5%. Nice light beer.
Nice.
About you, Wells, you still drinking water?
Yeah.
Chicken just broth?
Water, not 100%.
And I got some turkey stock that would absolutely clear you up.
Yeah, I've got some stock downstairs. I'm just waiting until we're done recording to go eat it.
Get it. Josh.
Well, Wells, in your honor, I am having a celebration for you.
Hell yeah. Nice. I totally would, man. I've been staring at it. I just can't.
We missed out on Selly Drippins. That was last week, I guess.
This year's celebration drinks just as good as last year's and the year before that. Totally worth getting out. And Jeff, I know you and I are both Costco nerds. Apparently, they have a case of it there. And
nice.
I'm like, huh, I have to do a Costco order. I might be getting a case of some Celebration this year. See, oh, one quick thing before we go. One thing that fascinated me about the both Rogue and Highwire beer, they intentionally covered up the can dates on those.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure it was the place that I was at. It wasn't, like, you know, everywhere. Because right. I got a Highwire can, and there was a sticker over where I know the can date was. And so I pulled the sticker off to see. And I was like, wow. Okay. That was interesting.
Imagine having to sticker over what your can date is.
Well, yeah. For that matter, I mean, I will say, you know, we're ranting and raving and lauding, you know, Sierra Nevada for all the great things they do. I was at the store this weekend and picked up a 12 pack of Atomic Torpedo. Can't find a date on the outside. And I'm not going to be that guy that opens up a package, you know, like a boxed 12 pack just so I could see what the
see a date is. Yeah.
So I put it back. Maybe next time.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. All right, Jeff, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
Come to the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. Find links to our old episodes. You can reach us, contact@craftbeercast.com over email. It's the best way to get hold of us. Wells, can they find you anywhere other than getting some soup?
Getting some soup and at all the Wells on Instagram. Josh, where can I find you?
Besides right here, don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to us all these years. If you have any top 5 or top 10 lists, really, I'd like to keep it to top 5. We're rapidly approaching the end of the year. We will be doing our top 10s of the year at some point. So if you have stuff, hit us up, contact@craftbeercast.com, stuff that you want us to talk about, or if you have a list, we will, of course, read through it and read it out on the show. And other than that, I just got to say this, because we're good again. Go Pats. We're playing tonight, and we're going to win, and we're going to be number one, and you can all suck it. Goodbye.
Lame.
Well, on that note, it's soup time.
Get that soup.